Title of today's message is Romance in the Marriage Relationship. We open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, said Jesus, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Just keep your Bible open to Revelation 2, and let me show you something very interesting in verse 5 in just a few moments. But of great interest, the letter that was recently written to a newspaper columnist named Abigail Van Buren. The letter reads as follows, Dear Abby, do all marriages go stale after 25 years? Ours has. My husband and I don't have much to talk about anymore. We used to talk about it, but now they're grown and gone, and we don't seem to have much to talk about. I have no major complaints with my husband, but the old excitement is gone. We watch a lot of television, and we read, and we have friends. But when we're alone together, it's pretty dull. We even sleep in separate bedrooms now. Is there some way to recapture the old magic? Signed, the song has ended. And I say, how sad. How very, very sad. Recently, the Reader's Digest said the number one question people ask marriage counselors is this one. Why don't we love each other the way we used to? And that seems to be the dilemma that so many married couples are confronted with today. It started off so beautifully. Our marriage began with such high hopes and with such wonderful expectation. But as the years have passed, the magic has disappeared. It's a fact, ladies and gentlemen, your marriage relationship is always moving. You see, you and your spouse are either moving together or you're moving apart. No marriage stands still. If you really think you're marking time and just getting by, you're woefully naive. You're either drawing closer together or you're drifting farther apart. So what do you do when it goes flat? What do you do when your marriage is stable but has lost its sparkle? What do you do when there is no pizzazz and no sizzle in the marriage relationship anymore? When the romance is gone, when there is no excitement in your marriage anymore, what do you do? Well, how do you rediscover your first love? How do you go back to the time that it all began? How do you recreate the magic, the marvel, the mystery of togetherness? It started so beautifully. How do you go back? Well, you do exactly as Jesus said in Revelation 2, verse 5. It's really so clear. We struggle over things that Jesus places in the most simple terms. He said to the church at Ephesus, here's what to do when you lose your first love. In verse 5, he said, number one, remember. You've got to remember. So I say, remember the good times. Remember the way it used to be. Remember the fun. Remember the romance. Remember the sparkle. Remember the excitement. And number two, Jesus said, repent. When you repent, you make a deliberate change. You make a volitional change. You decide to change your attitude toward marriage. And more than that, you decide to change your attitude toward your spouse. Your attitude, when it all started, was one of acceptance, admiration, and appreciation. Why did your attitude turn sour? Was it your fault, or his fault, or her fault? You must make a deliberate change. And number three, do. Remember, repent, and do the things you did at first. What did you do in the beginning? If you want to go back to the beginning, go back and redo some of the things you were doing in the beginning. Whatever you did to get in love, continue doing in order to stay in love. You did those things in order to woo her or him, to attract him or her. You did all of those things that were so meaningful and so precious and so important at time, but you've stopped doing them. So start doing them again. Remember, repent, do. But I know some of the guys in this audience would say, but Pastor, why chase the bus once you've caught it? It's an exercise in futility. And so you get complacent in your relationship. Some would say, no, I don't tell her that often that I love her anymore. I told her when we got married, I really do love you. And if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know about it. No, that won't cut it. Don't get so complacent. Let me tell you how a marriage relationship deteriorates. It starts with romance, and then soon it evolves into reality. Romance and reality are sometimes different. And it goes from reality to rut. It's boring. And it moves from rut into resentment. You begin to resent your spouse. And it moves from resentment into regret. You regret that you got started with this marriage in the first place. There it is, romance to reality. From reality to rut. From rut to resentment. From resentment to regret. But there is a fact you need to be aware of or reminded of today, and that is this one: feelings follow actions. You might say, don't feel romantic anymore. I don't feel the old sparkle. I don't feel the old fire burning in me anymore. I don't feel that way anymore. Well, feelings follow actions. And if you want to feel a certain way, act that way. If you want to feel romantic, act romantic. If you want to feel like you're the greatest lover that ever came walking down the road, then act like the greatest lover that ever came walking down the road. Because if you will start acting the way you feel, before long, you will be feeling the way you want to feel. You can act your way into a feelings, but sometimes it does take action. Well, let me talk to you quickly about five aspects of the marriage relationship and how you can bring romance back into or keep romance in your marriage relationship. If you're taking notes, go ahead and take the outline out of today's bulletin and write this down at the top of the page. Number one, show attention. You got to show attention. And by showing attention, I'm talking about intellectual intimacy. I read about it in Philippians 2, verse 2. Paul said, live together in love as though you had only one mind and one spirit between you. And in verse 4, he said, look to each other's interests, not merely your own. You remember the excitement that came to your spirit the moment you began to realize that he was paying attention to you? You remember when you first noticed that she was paying attention to you? You remember how good that made you feel? And you remember how you chose to reciprocate? And because she was paying attention to you, you paid attention to her. And because he was paying attention to you, you paid attention to him. And there was this process of reciprocity when both of you were showing attention to each other, and it was a beautiful relationship. Well, I say, do it again. Decide to start your love affair all over again. Start paying attention to her. Don't walk in the room while she is standing there and ignore her. And you've got to pay attention to him. Don't let him walk in a room while you're standing there and just ignore him. And don't leave for work in the morning without a hug, without an embrace, without a kiss, without some tenderness. Come on, somebody. Show attention. Now, what did you do in the beginning? You wrote notes to each other. You telephoned each other. You sent flowers. You sent cards. You sent gifts. And she said, you know, it was so fresh. The relationship was so wonderful in those days. She would say, dear, would you get that for me? And you said, oh, yes, I will. And you jumped to get it. But today she says, dear, would you get that for me? And you look over your glasses at her and say, no, I don't. No, I'm watching television. I mean, what do you think I am? I'm under something around here. Well, you ought to be. You ought to be a servant to her. Because the Bible said, you've got to love your wife as Christ loves the church. And what did he do for the church? He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve the church. And if you got married for some other reason, sir, other than serving your wife, you need to recognize you probably got married for the wrong reason. And you need to start serving her now if you've not been serving her until now. I know familiarity oftentimes breeds contempt. You buy a new automobile and it's so exciting. Sitting there on the showroom floor. It's beautiful under the lights. It's beautiful with makeup on it. Can I get a witness? And it's got the new car smell. Do you like that new car smell? Like a new wife smell. It's got that wonderful. But after the years go by, you lose your sense of smelling. Your sense of smell becomes desensitized. She's still as fragrant as ever, but you don't know it. And you know, an old car can get rusty and dirty, and it can lose the fragrance, and it's just an old beat-up bucket of bolts, and you get tired of it, and you're wanting a new one. How sad that some marriage, like they trade an automobile purchase. You look at your sweet wife or your wonderful husband who has faithfully stood at your side down through the years, and you think because age has made a difference and because time has made a difference that you'd like something more exciting, something newer, don't go there. I know men are goal-oriented. I understand that. And so, you know, on a trip, they're in a hurry to get there. They want to hurry up and get there. They want to get there to the place. They don't want to take time to smell the roses by and large. They just want to hurry up and get there. And so in marriage, in the marriage relationship, and in the relationship of romance, a man will set as a goal to get married. My goal is to find the right woman to get married. And so while he is moving toward that goal, he does a lot of creative things. He makes telephone calls, and he sends flowers and gifts, and he may even write some poetry. And he just, because he's goal-oriented. But so oftentimes, the moment the relationship has reached marriage, shortly thereafter, he's got to set a new goal, mission accomplished, as far as he's concerned. And so now he sets as his goal the goal of providing for this woman. And he refocuses his attention away from her to his vocation. And he pours all of his creative energy and his creative skills into the building of a business or into the earning of an income. And in doing so, he ignores her. She should still be the goal, but his job is now the goal. And she begins to wonder, why am I being ignored? And the darkness deepens when she begins to blame herself. And she holds herself responsible for the fact that he's ignoring her and not treating her as he should. Has nothing to do with her, actually. It's just a refocus of his goal-reaching, goal-setting mechanism. But it's time to refocus back to the original goal. Because both feel cheated when he's ignoring her and she begins to ignore him. I believe one of the greatest enemies of a romantic marriage relationship is a busy schedule. He's so busy and she is so busy, they don't have time for romance. The University of Nebraska recently discovered in a study that the most common denominator of happy marriages is this one. They said we spend a lot of time together. We must show attention. All right, number two, give affirmation. Hey, it's really quiet in here this morning, and I like it that way because I think you're listening, whether you are or not. Number two, give affirmation. And here I'm talking about emotional intimacy. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, Paul said, give encouragement to each other and keep strengthening each other. Fact is, everybody wants to be admired. Everybody wants to be appreciated. Everybody wants to be looked up to. And because people admire us, we make a conscious decision to love those people and appreciate those people. We appreciate people and we love people who appreciate us and who love us. And so, if we'd go through life showing affirmation, giving affirmation, sharing with one another our depth of appreciation for them, we'd have more coming back. Romans 12, verse 10 said, take delight in honoring each other. After 50 years of marriage, the woman was asked, how did you stay married so successfully to this man for 50 years? And she said, it's really very simple. He always treated me like a queen, and I always treated him like a king. And we've had 50 wonderful years together. Well, we need to verbalize our love. Give affirmation in a verbal sense. It's not likely she's going to read your mind. It's not likely that he can read your mind. I found it interesting that... Where are my drummers? Give me some drummers. I found it interesting when I came across that recent survey made by a radio station to determine the top 10 terms of endearment. Top 10 terms that people use in marriage and in romance expressing their love and their appreciation to each other. Number 10, precious. Number 9, angel pie. Number 8, pumpkin. Number 7 on the top 10 list of terms of endearment, sugar. Number 6, darling. Number 5, lover. Number 4, dear. Number 3 of the top 10 terms of endearment, sweetheart. Number 2, baby. And the top term of endearment is honey. And there you have it. But I wonder, there are some others. And I wonder how the others didn't make the list. I mean, whatever happened to love puppy? Why is that not on there? Whatever happened to wild thing? Whatever happened to stud dumpling? Why is that not on there? So, we need to express our love. Don't wait for her or him to just take it for granted that you still love. Go ahead and say it. All right, number 3, write this down. Display affection. Now I'm talking about physical intimacy. We move from intellectual to emotional intimacy, and now from emotional to physical intimacy. In a crowd of couples, isn't it interesting? It's so easy to tell the unmarried ones. Can I get a witness? Because the unmarried ones are the ones that can't keep their hands off each other. Or sometimes the newlyweds. It's so sad that so oftentimes after the marriage, the touching stops. The tenderness stops. The petting stops. The patting stops. And I say to you, child of God, that all marriages need major doses of hugging and holding and stroking and patting and cuddling and snuggling and kissing All marriage relationships need major doses of these things. Ephesians 5, verse 25 said, husbands, be affectionate. That's not a suggestion, that's a command. Do it, he said. Do you understand that babies can actually die from lack of touching? It's called skin deprivation. And sadly, marriages can die for the same reason, lack of touching. Ephesians 5:28 said the love of a man gives his wife is the extending of his love for himself to enfold her. A recent study by the UCLA said that ladies who hug their husbands at least three times every day can actually extend his life up to 3 years. I rest my case. Women who hug their husbands three times a day can actually extend his life up to 3 years. But I know some women who have said, tough luck, hubby. See you in heaven. You're going before I go. You rest in peace till I get there. Can I get a witness? Display affection. Genesis 26 verse 8 said, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. He was sporting with her. And that was before the National Football League. I'm not talking about the NBA. Sporting. The Greek for sporting is fondle or caress playfully. I'm getting a tremendous mental picture right now of Isaac and Rebekah. He was fondling her and caressing her playfully. They did it in the Old Testament. It was good then, it's still good today. Let's have some sporting. Husbands and wives ought to go home this afternoon and spend the afternoon sporting. Can I get a witness? There's no Dallas Cowboy football game on today. Nothing to interfere with your sporting activities this afternoon. Oh, I know. But some would say, but appearance. Appearance has so much to do with it. Appearance can either increase or decrease affection. And that's why I say to the guys in this place, shape up. Because it's tough for her to show affection to your beer belly and bad breath and BO and boxer shorts. I'm talking difficult. Can I get a witness? Men need to learn how to show a little affection that doesn't lead to a sexual encounter. Most of the guys think that if she shows any degree of affection at all, she's wanting to go straight to the bedroom. No, that's not what she had in mind. She's just showing some love and some affection. And men need to learn how to receive some affection and how to show some affection without thinking it's got to lead to a sexual encounter. Let me get off there and go quickly to number four. Number four, plan adventure. Here I'm talking about recreational intimacy. Most marriages are dull. They're boring. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 9 says, enjoy life with the wife whom you have. 1 Timothy 6:17 said, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And Matthew 11 verse 9 said, Jesus came enjoying life. I read that and I know Jesus had a good time. He wasn't bored and he wasn't boring. He was enjoying life. Let me ask you, are you fun to live with? Are you fun to come home to in the afternoon? Are you fun when you come home in the afternoon? Or does all hell break loose the moment you walk in the door because of everything you've gone through in your bad day at the office? We ought to look for ways to be fun to live with. If you don't schedule time for adventure, you'll never get around to having an adventurous encounter. If you just wait for adventure to show up, it'll never show up. You've got to plan for it and schedule it. Take a trip. Spend the night in a hotel. Go out to eat. Innovate. Number five, practice accordance. And I'm talking about spiritual intimacy. Oneness of spirit. 1 John 1:7 said, if we're living in the light of God's presence, then we have wonderful fellowship and joy with each other. spiritual oneness will inevitably lead to emotional oneness. And so if you want to have a deeper and more wonderful emotional and physical relationship, a more romantic relationship with your spouse, spend some time together in spiritual things. Pray together. Worship together. Read the Bible together. Honor God together. God believes in togetherness. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10 said, two are better than one. And it brings us right back where we started, to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. If you want to recreate the sparkle, the pizzazz, the sizzle in the relationship, remember the way it used to be. Repent and make a conscious decision to change your attitude concerning your spouse. And number three, do the things that you should have been doing all along. Do what needs to be done. And now, Father, I come before you in the holy name of Jesus, knowing that the best marriage is a marriage that is based upon togetherness at the cross. Knowing that the best relationship is a relationship based upon the forgiveness of sins by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I ask you, O God, to draw every lost soul hearing me speak at this moment to the foot of the cross. I ask you today, Father God, in Jesus' name, to bring every unsaved man, every unsaved woman, every unsaved young person, every lost boy or girl hearing me speak today to Calvary. And in the name of Jesus, let every person who hears this message know Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord.